bishop, that the House of Bishops of the Episcopal Church, one, make an unequivocal common covenant that the bishops will not authorize any rite of blessing for same-sex unions in their dioceses or through general convention, and two, confirm that the passing of Resolution B-033 of the 75th General Convention, that was last summer, means that a candidate for episcopal orders, that is, to become a bishop, living in a same-sex union shall not receive the necessary consent unless some new consensus on these matters emerges across the communion. That was in the communique. And that's directed specifically to the Episcopal Church, and they all signed it. The same communique also asked for an end to all lawsuits over property and asked that the church not alienate the use of them by the congregations in them. So the lawsuits underway in Virginia, the primates in their communique said, please stop it. And even in the use of a church like this one, where we are at some odds with our diocese and with the Episcopal Church, the primates are saying, don't alienate them from the property which they occupy, from the church that they're in. The primates explicitly asked both of those things. Here's the exact quote. The primates urge the representatives of the Episcopal Church and of those congregations in property disputes with it to suspend all law actions in law arising in this situation. We also urge both parties to give assurances that no steps will be taken to alienate property from the Episcopal Church without its consent or to deny the use of that property to those congregations. Is that clear? Balanced? I believe it's extraordinary. And all of them signed it. Now, the first response to this for many of us has to be hopefulness. An extraordinary event occurred over there. An extraordinary event. Here's how the American church reacted to that communique. In fact, I've printed out on the table there, and it's on the website, quotes from many of the bishops in the American church in response. The conservatives in the United States, mostly with thanks and some caution. The liberals, mixed. Some with equanimity, actually saying this could be a good thing. Maybe we have a way forward. Others, defiant. No way, never. We're not turning back. We're not stopping. We will continue. And there are bishops who have said, I will ignore this completely. We will do what we have decided to do, and no one's going to stop us. The Bishop of Chicago, our bishop, responded in detail. And you can read that. It's available out there as well. And he said, we are unable and unwilling to agree. The Bishop of Chicago. Now, I believe that the overall American response, perhaps nuanced, will be unyielding. And though I believe the presiding bishop had a genuine encounter with the Lord, I also believe that many strident voices now surround her. In fact, I would ask you all, just pray for that woman. She is in a horrible position right now. Just horrible. Yeah? Let's do that right now. Let's do that right now. Lord, we lift before you your servant Catherine. We thank you for making her. We thank you for loving her. We thank you for drawing close to her as we believe that you have. We thank you for her willingness to speak aloud. We thank you for her willingness to be a part of what she was a part. We thank you for her prayerfulness and her willingness to be open to your word and its leading. And we ask you to surround her with protection right now, that she might not be brought down, she might not be destroyed, she might not be harmed, she might not be misled by any of those who surround her and who oppose what it is that you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're moving here toward the end. Up until now, the National American Episcopal Church's view of churches and church property has been this. The Episcopal Church can leave the Anglican Communion on its own or by being thrown out of it, and it gets to keep everything that it owns. But if a local congregation wants to leave the Episcopal Church, it can keep nothing. That's the view of the National Church. It is the reason for the lawsuits that are underway in Virginia right now. Basically, it is ours. We do with it what we want. And then finally, I have the response of the Standing Committee of the Diocese of Chicago to Resurrection's request. And remember that in our request to the Bishop and the Standing Committee, and all of these documents are available and they're on the website, we detailed the rebuilding of this congregation and its facilities, growing from just 12 courageous souls who were here in 1993 to about 140 members now, and another large number that aren't members that regard us as home. All of us here sacrificed our time, our passion, our lives, our incomes for this family of God. In financial equity, excluding salaries, excluding utilities, just in financial equity, in the time that we have been here together, we have put somewhere between $1.2 and $1.4 million into this church, including the building of the ark, air conditioning, roofs, furnaces, renovations, many, many different things. The Episcopal Church in that same period of time, just to be objective, put no money in and incurred no debt either in that period of time. Provided us with a bishop about once a year, facilities for training people to be safe in teaching children, access to other diocesan programs, insurance for me, pension plan for me. And what we said to the bishop and the standing committee is we would like to have this equity, this moral and financial equity, be recognized and that we be allowed to leave intact. Here's the exact quote. Please honor the equity, lifeblood, and ministry we have contributed. Recognize what we have uniquely created, paid for, built, and given. Please let us go and allow us to remain intact. People, property, identity, and ministry. It would be just, fair, and a merciful gift to us. That was the request. The Standing Committee came out and worshiped with us. We showed them what we had done here, the things we had mentioned. We actually took them around and showed them what we had built and contributed. And then at the end of that meeting, they worshiped with us and then talked with us for about 2 hours. And after that meeting, we sent them this letter. Dear Mr. Perillo, that's the head of the Standing Committee, and Bishop Purcell, are you guys okay? I know I'm running long here. Are you okay? That means go and get your kids, if you have kids, downstairs. There will be a tape if you missed this part of it. Here's what we wrote to the Standing Committee. Dear Mr. Perillo and Bishop Purcell, please share this with the Standing Committee. We want again to thank you both and the entire Standing Committee for taking time to come and worship and meet with us. We were honored that you would all make such an effort and show such an openness to hear us out. We wish to review briefly what we said. We believe that our differences over the Episcopal Church's direction are irreconcilable. We believe that the new thing that the Church believes the Holy Spirit is leading it to do and the actions which it believes are prophetic are not compatible with Scripture or the unbroken tradition of the Church. We do not believe that we can in good conscience accompany it on this new path. We say this with grief. We ask to be released and desire that you might soon define the terms of such a separation so that we can present it to our congregation for their vote, and if so voted, move on. We believe through Scripture and prayer that we were led to treat each of you lovingly and respectfully, with no accusation or recrimination. Following 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we also believe that we are not to defend in the secular courts anything we've acquired or built, which we detailed in our letter to you and which you saw while you were here. And so we said we would not sue or defend a suit. I think it's interesting that the primates basically agreed with what we had said. The assigned lectionary reading for our evening prayer together last Thursday ended this way, Galatians 5:15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It was the reading assigned for the night that we met. We have taken this to heart. We asked for an accommodation, knowing that your answer can range from take your property and go with our blessing to you may keep nothing at all and you must leave. We will take what you offer and simply ask for mercy in your decision making. We also said that we would make no attacks on any of you, but will pray for you regardless of the outcome and your decisions. This remains true. We believe that let me just interject here. I want to make it clear that there is an enormous difference between an attack on someone and trying to say objectively and clearly what actions might have been taken or decisions might have been made and how they affect us, even if negatively. And it remains true that we have no desire and will not make attacks. Finally, this is the end of the same letter now. We believe that the best outcome would be a mutually kind settlement, that what we agree to in this way in Chicago could be a model of how Christians treat each other, even in deep disagreement, and that this could stand as an alternative to the fury which seems to have engulfed the church elsewhere. That is our hope and our prayer. Please do keep all of us in your prayers. On behalf of the vestry and the people of Resurrection in Christ, George. That was our letter. And there's been some precedent for what we requested. In Virginia, in Washington State, in Texas, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where a congregation was permitted to leave intact and retain some of what they had built, or was permitted to continue to use the facilities for an extended period of time, in one case 13 years. And now we have the response of the bishop and the standing committee. 50 copies of it are here, and it'll also be posted on the website. And I will just point out, I have received phone calls from the press, and I have not spoken to them. And what I have said is this is an internal matter for us. This is about our congregation and our hearts and our decision-making. And I will inform you, and you can look on our website to find out what it is that has happened, but I will not do this in the press. We will do this in our family, and we will make decisions as a family, as the family of God here. Now, the letter from the Standing Committee, the language in it is engaging. It's diplomatic. It cites history and scripture in asking us not to leave. And here's what it says. It's addressed to me as the rector, to the wardens, the vestry, and the members of the Episcopal Church of the Resurrection. Dear friends in Christ, it was good to worship and meet with you on February 1st, 2007 at Church of the Resurrection. It helped us to understand your position and to relate to you as fellow members of our church. Having had some time to pray and reflect upon the discussion that evening on your letter of December 17th, 2006, and on your request to the Bishop and Standing Committee dated December 26, 2006, we propose the following. We sincerely hope that you will reconsider your position as expressed in your letters and our discussion. We would welcome the Church of the Resurrection to continue its life and ministry within the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion as a member parish of the Diocese of Chicago. Our church has historically been broadly comprehensive, allowing for a diversity of liturgical styles, biblical interpretations, and theological understandings. We believe that the Church of the Resurrection has been nurtured and supported in the Episcopal Church and is not unique in its viewpoints and emphases. We believe that you enrich our common life and that the mission and ministry of the Episcopal Church can both strengthen and challenge you to grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus. If you feel that you must leave the Episcopal Church, you and the Episcopal Church would be diminished. We cannot say we have no need of each other, 1 Corinthians 12:14 and following. Before this could happen, there should be a congregational meeting with a member of the bishop's staff present. At this meeting, there should be an open discussion of the issues. Those who might choose to leave the Episcopal Church would understand that they do so as individuals. The Reverend George Koch, should he choose to leave, would need to renounce his orders as a priest of the Episcopal Church. Those who wish to remain in the Episcopal Church will be reorganized as a congregation with a priest provided by the diocese, similar to what happened when the rector and many members left your congregation 13 years ago and 12 persons remained who subsequently called the Reverend George Koch as rector. Those who might choose to leave will abandon any claim to the church buildings and property. The property is held in trust for the Episcopal Church and is to be used for the mission and ministry of the church. In making our decisions, we are constrained by canon law and by guidance of the Episcopal Church. We are grateful for your prayerful decision not to waste the church's resources in civil litigation. If we are unsuccessful in building a new congregation in West Chicago, we would probably sell the property and use the proceeds for mission and ministry in another location. Again, our hope and prayer is that the vast majority of the people of the Church of the Resurrection will maintain your membership in good standing in the Episcopal Church. To do so would demonstrate to the world that what unites us is far more significant than what divides us. God has called us into the body of Christ. Our unity in Christ is God's gift to us and God's demand upon us. Faithfully yours in Christ, William D. Purcell, Bishop of Chicago, Michael Perillo, President for the Standing Committee of the Diocese of Chicago. To the request that our efforts here be recognized and that we be allowed to leave intact, they said, no. No land, building, or other property. If you leave, you leave as individuals and abandon all rights. George must renounce his orders as a priest of the Episcopal Church. Any who wish to remain in the Episcopal Church will be reorganized and a new priest supplied. If that doesn't work, the property will be sold and the funds used by the diocese. Now, as you hear this, you might be moved to despair or anger. don't let the accuser in. Pray for the bishop and the standing committee. Ask for God's presence in their lives and His blessing upon them. It is what Jesus commands us to do. Finally, what will we do now? We still have a decision before us. We have not voted to leave as a congregation, and so we can't be asked to leave this building yet. And even if we so vote, which I believe we must, the primates have asked the Episcopal Church not to throw us out, but to allow us to continue to use the facilities that we have built until they attempt one last time to bring the Episcopal Church around. The church, by the way, was given until September 30th to respond to those 2 points made in the communique about what the church must change. I do not believe that that communique will succeed. The Bishop of Chicago has already said the Episcopal Church cannot and should not comply with the primate's communique. The Standing Committee has clearly told us that if we leave, they keep it all, we leave with nothing except perhaps our grief, our prayers for the bishop and the standing committee, and our hope in Christ. I also want to point out an important insight in that letter to us. You are not seen as the Church of the Resurrection. You are not seen as the body of Christ. You are seen as members of an institution which persists, even if every last person here left, they would say Church of the Resurrection is still intact. Which is why they said, if you choose to leave, you must leave as individuals, because they do not see you as church. They would not even recognize a vote by this congregation as a vote of the congregation, just of those individuals who voted. And that really, in a sense, is almost the heart of the problem. And so if we leave with nothing except perhaps our grief, our prayers for the bishop and the standing committee, and our hope in Christ. It is on this last that we will stand, our hope in Christ. It is on this that we will be raised again. Though everything be taken from us, though we are poor, yet we are rich. I believe that God has blessed this faithful band called Resurrection. We are not just individuals who can be dismissed one by one. We are the very body of Christ. We are the church, and this church will rise. Resurrection will be worthy of its name, because it kneels at the name above all names, Jesus. God, I honestly believe in the depths of my heart, has great things ahead for us. And we must now turn toward Him and walk where He calls. It isn't here. He will provide us with all that we need. He will provide it abundantly. Watch what God will do. He will do it, and by His power, we will rise again. This will be resurrection.